Unit 3. Part 1. Language Skills Development. 1. Starter. A. Read the lyrics of a song. Listen to the tape or CD and sing in chorus.
Oceans apart, day after day, and I slowly grow insane. I hear your voice on the line, but it doesn't stop the pain. I see you next to never. How can we see forever? Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. I took for granted all the times that I thought would last somehow. I hear the laughter, I taste the tears, but I can't get near you now. Oh, can't you see, baby? You've got me going crazy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you. I wonder how we can. But in the end, if I'm with you, I'll take the chance. Can't you see it, baby? You've got me going crazy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting.
B. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer for each question you hear.
1 degree, love. In a cold winter, a couple had to move out from the luxury villa because of bankruptcy. The husband worked day and night to support the family, but with no care of his wife. So she thought, he doesn't love me anymore. He just cares his business, not me. One day she wanted to take a bath, but he stopped her at the door. Let me take it first, okay? Why not let me shower first? She asked. I was tired, sweetie. You take it later, okay? She was totally depressed. On a morose day, she found nothing to do and turned on his computer. A few words blurred her eyes. It was his diary. Today I was quite sad. She asked me why I was always taking the bath first, and I said to her I was exhausted. She was unhappy. In her mind, I treated her not as well as usual. But how can I do? I wasn't as rich as before. We moved to the small apartment, and there was only a shower in such a freezing winter. But I found that if one person took the shower first, the room could get a little warmer. So every time I rushed to the bathroom first. I was thinking that when she took the shower, the room would get warmer. At least 1 degree. Now I can't give her a comfortable life, bring her to the luxury restaurants, buy expensive dresses for her, but at least I can give her 1 degree love.
2. Text, The Power of Love.
Love is as critical for your mind and body as oxygen. It's not negotiable. The more connected you are, the healthier you will be, both physically and emotionally. The less connected you are, the more you are at risk. It is also true that the less love you have, the more depression you are likely to experience in your life. Love is probably the best antidepressant, because one of the most common sources of depression is feeling unloved. Most depressed people don't love themselves, and they do not feel loved by others. They're also very self-focused, making them less attractive to others and depriving them of opportunities to learn the skills of love. There is a mythology in our culture that love just happens. As a result, the depressed often sit around passively waiting for someone to love them. But love doesn't work that way. To get love and keep love, you have to go out and be active and learn a variety of specific skills. Most of us get our ideas of love from popular culture. We come to believe that love is something that sweeps us off our feet. But the pop culture ideal of love consists of unrealistic images created for entertainment, which is one reason so many of us are set up to be depressed. It's part of our vulnerability, like eating junk food, constantly stimulated by images of instant gratification. We think it is love when it's simply distraction and infatuation. One consequence is that when we hit real love, we become upset and disappointed, because there are many things that do not fit the cultural ideal. Some of us get demanding and controlling, wanting someone else to do what we think our ideal of romance should be, without realizing our ideal is misplaced. It is not only possible but necessary to change one's approach to love to ward off depression. Follow these action strategies to get more of what you want out of life, to love and be loved. Recognize the difference between limerence and love. Limerence is the psychological state of deep infatuation. It feels good, but rarely lasts. Limerence is that first stage of mad attraction, whereby all the hormones are flowing and things feel so right. Limerence lasts, on average, 6 months. It can progress to love. Love mostly starts out as limerence, but limerence doesn't always evolve into love. Know that love is a learned skill, not something that comes from hormones or emotion particularly. Eric Fromm called it an act of will. If you don't learn the skills of love, you virtually guarantee that you will be depressed. not only because you would not be connected enough, but because you will have many failure experiences. Learn good communication skills. They are a means by which you develop trust and intensify connection. The more you can communicate, the less depressed you will be because you will feel known and understood. There are always core differences between two people, no matter how good or close you are, and if the relationship is going right, those differences surface. The issue then is to identify the differences and negotiate them so that they don't distance you or kill the relationship. You do that by understanding where the other person is coming from, who that person is, and by being able to represent yourself. When the differences are known, you must be able to negotiate and compromise on them until you find a common ground that works for both. Focus on the other person, rather than focus on what you are getting and how you are being treated. Read your partner's need. What does this person really need for his or her own well-being? This is a very tough skill for people to learn in our narcissistic culture. Of course, you don't lose yourself in the process. You make sure you're also doing enough self-care. Help someone else. Depression keeps people so focused on themselves, they don't get outside themselves enough to be able to learn to love. The more you can focus on others and learn to respond and meet their needs, the better you're going to do in love. Develop the ability to accommodate simultaneous reality. The loved one's reality is as important as your own, and you need to be as aware of it as of your own. What are they really saying? What are they really needing? Depressed people think the only reality is their own depressed reality. Actively dispute your internal messages of inadequacy. Sensitivity to rejection is a cardinal feature of depression. As a consequence of low self-esteem, every relationship blip is interpreted far too personally as evidence of inadequacy. Quick to feel rejected by a partner, you then believe it is the treatment you fundamentally deserve. But the rejection really originates in you, and the feelings of inadequacy are the depression speaking. Recognize that the internal voice is strong, but is not real. Talk back to it. I'm not really being rejected. This isn't really evidence of inadequacy. I made a mistake. Or, this isn't about me. This is something I just didn't know how to do, and now I'll learn. When you reframe the situation to something more adequate, you can act again in an effective way, and you can find and keep the love that you need.
New words.
Critical.
Oxygen.
Negotiable.
Depression.
Antidepressant.
Deprive.
Unrealistic.
Vulnerability.
Constantly.
Gratification.
Distraction.
Infatuation.
Consequence.
Approach.
Limerence.
Psychological.
Whereby.
Will.
Virtually.
Guarantee.
Means.
Intensify.
Call.
Represent.
Accommodate.
Simultaneous.
Dispute.
Inadequacy.
Sensitivity.
Cardinal.
Fundamentally.
Blip.
Reframe.
Adequate.
Proper noun.
Eric Fromm.
6. Practice. Listening.
Listen to a passage and answer the following questions. True love. Many lovers promise to be together forever, in life and in death, but I don't believe I've heard of anyone whose loyalty and devotion matched that of Mrs. Strauss. The year was 1912. Mrs. Strauss and her husband were passengers on the Titanic during its fateful voyage. Not many women went down with the ship, But Mrs. Strauss was one of the few women who did not survive for one simple reason. She could not bear to leave her husband. This is how Mabel Bird, Mrs. Strauss's servant, who survived the disaster, told the story after she was rescued. When the Titanic began to sink, panicked women and children were the first ones loaded into lifeboats. Mr. and Mrs. Strauss were calm and comforting to the passengers and helped many of them into the boats. If it had not been for them, Marble stated, I would have drowned. I was in the fourth or fifth lifeboat. Mrs. Strauss made me get into the boat. Then Mr. Strauss begged his wife to get into the lifeboat with her servant and the others. Mrs. Strauss started to get in. She had one foot on the gunwale, but then suddenly she changed her mind, turned away, and stepped back onto the sinking ship. Please, dear, get into the boat, her husband urged. Mrs. Strauss looked deep into the eyes of the man with whom she'd spent most of her life, the man who had been her best friend, her heart's true companion, and always a comfort to her soul. She grabbed his arm and drew his trembling body close to hers. No, Mrs. Strauss is said to have replied, I will not get into the boat. We have been together through a great many years. We are old now. I will not leave you. Where you go, I will go. And that is where they were last seen, standing arm in arm on the deck, this devoted wife clinging courageously to her husband, this loving husband clinging protectively to his wife, as the ship sank, together forever.
Part 2, Language in Use. 1. Dialogue. Wedding vows. Richard Weston and Stephina Rose are holding their wedding at a Christian church in London. Listen to the wedding ceremony and fill in the blanks, then read it aloud.
Family and friends, we welcome you today to witness the marriage of Richard Weston and Stephina Rose. You have shared and contributed to their lives in the past, and by witnessing their marriage ceremony today, Richard and Stephina ask you to share in their future. Marriage is a promise, formed in the hearts of two people who love each other, which takes a lifetime to fulfill. Within the circle of its love, marriage encompasses all of life's most important relationships. A wife and a husband are each other's lover, teacher, listener, critic, and best friend. It is into this state that Richard and Stephina wish to enter. Who gives their blessing to this union?
We do.
If anyone present can show just and legal cause why they may not be joined, let them speak now, or forever hold their peace. The ring is the symbol of wedlock. The perfect circle of love, the unbroken union of this man and this woman united here today. May you both remain faithful to this symbol of true love. Please join hands and repeat after me. Man first, while placing ring on proper finger. I, Richard Weston, take Stephina Rose as my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part.
I, Stephina Rose, take Richard Weston as my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part.
New words.
Priest.
Encompass.
Union.
Wedlock.
3. Text. Cable car wedding, New Zealand's shortest ceremony.
If marriage is a journey a couple takes together, perhaps it is fitting for that journey to begin on the move, literally. You surely want your wedding ceremony to be beautiful, perfect, and most of all, memorable. After all, a wedding is a supposedly once-in-a-lifetime event, and romance is best served with wonderful and unforgettable experiences. And one way to do that is to try an unusual and moving venue. If you choose to enter the next phase in your life on a scenic cable car drive, your big day can be truly unforgettable. A British expatriate couple has made double New Zealand history by getting married on the capital city's cable car in what's thought to be the country's shortest marriage ceremony. Nicola Todd and Malcolm Stewart tied the knot in just 4.5 minutes, while the Wellington cable car completed its scheduled 6-minute journey. The cable car is one of the city's most popular tourist attractions and runs from Lambton Quay in the commercial heart of the city up to the Botanic Gardens, with panoramic views of the CBD, harbour, and surrounding districts. The expat couple also scored a third first with their marriage celebrant Katie Shannon performing her first wedding ceremony. "Everybody should get married in 4 minutes. It was such a rush, a real buzz," said Shannon. Asked why they chose to marry on the cable car, Ms. Todd, a journalism student, said she wanted something that would be a bit more fun. "I've always thought what I would like to do would be more quirky and casual and a bit more fun and different, and would involve the children." Until recently, Stewart has been working at Greymouth Hospital on the west coast of the South Island. When a friend suggested the cable car, the couple agreed and said planning the event had been remarkably stress-free. The major concern was logistics. With the cable car booked, there was no leeway for anyone to be late. Guests and the bride and groom gathered at the turnstile early in order to jump on the same car. The only cause for panic was the cancellation of the marriage celebrant's flight from Greymouth the day before. She arrived in Wellington just a few hours before the ceremony. After the brief ceremony and scenic journey, the wedding party of 17 adults and 9 children had celebratory drinks in the cable car museum.
New words:
expatriate,
not,
botanic,
panoramic,
celebrant,
quirky,
stress-free,
logistics,
leeway,
turnstile,
celebratory,
proper nouns:
Nicola Todd,
Malcolm Stewart,
Lambton Quay,
CBD, Central Business District,
Katie Shannon,
Greymouth.